Welcome to the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. It's November 25, 2011, and this is episode 310. After a bit of a roller coaster summer where I found that I had a brain tumour and had some pretty scary surgery, and then spent the last 4 months or so getting back my strength, last Sunday marked my full return to being a working photographer with a location portrait shoot for a family that I've been photographing each year for the past 3 years. The worst part of my recovery was the first month after the surgery, which was a relatively tough time, but after that I've been working full and often long days in my studio and gotten a lot done with my time, so I really don't feel as though I've lost much time at all. But I've got to tell you, it was great to be back out and do a full shoot again, and it wore me out for sure. I need to do much more regular shooting to really get myself fully back into shape, and I'm heading out to the gym again now as well, which is great. But still, I think I can safely say that I'm back. So today, I'm going to walk you through a few of the things that I bore in mind as I set up for the shoot, and we'll take a look at some of the resulting images to help illustrate some of my points. The family that hired me for this assignment have just had their kitchen and lounge refurbished and wanted to celebrate that at the same time as get their family shots for their year-end cards and to document their family each year as their kids grow up. This is the third year that I've been asked to photograph them, which is great because they're a wonderful family to work with. This year they decided to ask the two sisters on the ladies' side of the family to come to town with their respective families, and their mother was also going to be there too. Also, the man of the house's mother lives nearby, so we wrapped a shoot with grandma with the grandkids into the mix. So we had a full shot list and 3 hours to shoot it all in, with a hard stop at 3.5 hours as they all had to leave for lunch at 1:30 p.m. at the latest. I use an app called Second Shooter on my iPhone to make a list of the must-have shots in a shoot. Once you have got the shot, you just tap the item on the shot list and it moves to the completed list. So as you work through your shoot in the non-completed view, your next shot will automatically make its way up to the top of that list. I actually prefer to use the to-do section for my shot list because this also gives me a text field for notes into which I usually type the names of family members so that I can take a sneaky look if I should forget someone's name during the shoot. This isn't so important for people that I've shot before, but I'm not good with names, so I like to list the new clients' names just in case. I did the shoot with just my wife as an assistant, and there was so much to do that I wasn't able to get loads of behind-the-scenes footage. But I did get a couple of shots that we can take a look at. In this first shot, you can see that I used a Westcott 7-foot Octobank to throw light into the kitchen, which was the main location for the shoot. These large doors open wide enough for the majority of the Octobank to be able to pump light into the room, and there was a little space to the left of it for me to stand and shoot. To light the living room area, which was to be the background for many of the shots, we used a 3x4-foot Profoto softbox, again right up against the second window. To maximise the light that entered the room, we removed the bug screen from the right side of the window, and I also used a boom here for two reasons. The first and the main reason being that the deck on which we perched the light stand ran out a few inches short of where I would like to have had the light stand. To get the softbox in the middle of the window, I needed to be a little bit further to the right, so the boom allowed me to do that. Also, having used this boom like this, We didn't have the light stand smack in the middle of the route off the deck and out through the gate there. As we can see in the next photo, there was a third window out on the roadside of the room, which we pumped a third Profoto D1 monolight into, not just to add extra light to the room, but also to stop that window from falling dark, as it would have done without the extra light here. Finally, in this next shot, we see a fourth monolight inside the kitchen to fill in what would have been otherwise harsh shadows on the side of the faces of people in the kitchen for some of the photos that I shot. These second two behind-the-scenes shots were actually from a little later in the day as I tested the lights for another family shoot, but it's very similar to how we started out. In this next portrait that we have up here of the three sisters, I actually got that fourth monolight closer to the doorway, just to my left. I was literally standing in that little gap to the right of the octobank. If you are wondering why we even used studio lighting for this shoot, we basically needed to overcome the sunlight, which only hit certain parts of the room, even at midday, and then model the light for a more pleasing look. The idea is to fill the room with enough light to make it possible to shoot at an aperture of f5.6 at ISO 100 for 1/160th or 1/200th of a second shutter speed. When I needed a slightly deeper depth of field, I went to f8 and changed my ISO to 200 so that I didn't have to change my light settings at all. I purposefully turned off the Profoto Air remote on the top of the camera to stop my lights from firing and exposed one frame to show you how dark it was in this room without the lights, but there wasn't much point in posting it here. It was almost completely black. There were just a few shapes in the shadows that you can just about see, so pretty much all of the light in this scene is coming from my Profoto monolights. With the large softbox to my right as I shot this, I had some beautiful soft light coming in and hitting the side of the three sisters' faces, and the light to my side filling in the shadows just enough to reduce the contrast, but not so much that it destroyed the shadows on their faces, as you can see with the shadows there of the noses and cheeks, etc. Note too that I have a monolight inside the octobank fitted with a glass dome from Profoto, made for the D1s, which basically spreads out the light much wider to really fill the octobank with light. So it really does give me a wide enveloping light source with very little light fall off at the edges of the front of that diffuser panel there. Ideally, I would have liked the octobank to be a little bit higher, but with the restriction of having to shoot through the doorway, it couldn't be lifted up anymore. Later in the day, when this did become more of a problem, we poked the octobank inside the room a little and raised it up maybe a foot, but that was about all we could manage. Still, I'm quite pleased with the results here. I also mentioned last week in my review of the Think Tank Photo Airport Security V2 rolling camera bag, I took some wide-angle lenses to this shoot as we'd hoped to try and get some wide environmental portraits of the three sisters in their kimonos in the newly refurbished kitchen. First, here is one of the resulting shots at 16mm, which has so much distortion that it's really not a flattering image at all. To overcome that to a degree, I grabbed my 24-70mm lens and shot three vertical images, which I later stitched together in Photoshop. Of course, this now has barrel distortion because I'd basically panned around from the same point, as I couldn't really move across the scene at all. But the faces in this second shot are much more flattering than the first one. Neither are really very good, though. But, we tried at least. And luckily, this was not one of the must-have shots on the shot list. That was covered by the image that we looked at before these. Once we'd bagged a nice shot of the three sisters in the kitchen, the plan was to have their mother join the group. We moved the sister whose house it was around to the inside of the counter and then had the mom sit between the two younger sisters, and I actually asked there if they'd got a magazine or something for them all to look at together, and the big sister grabbed one of her photo albums, which got them all in stitches as they looked at old school photos, etc., as we can see in this image. I really like this shot, the three sisters with their mom in the middle, and they're all having a great time. Of course, they would almost never all be in kimonos like this, but that's what makes it so special. It's as though they are all together for a special occasion and reminiscing over something, and which in many ways they were. Before the ladies changed out of their kimonos, we had an idea for one last shot, which we can see here. By the way, if you're wondering what I'm talking about when I mention the images, remember that if you're listening on an iPhone, you can see the images on the iPhone right now as we move through them, or your iPad. If you are not listening, if you've grabbed the MP3 version or something like that, then the best thing to do is to go over to my blog, and the post for this particular episode is at mbp.ac/310 for episode 310. Back to the photo, though. We were able to go up onto the balcony of the house next door to shoot down onto the wooden deck that they've also just had built. We pulled the bug blind across to darken down the kitchen and focus our attention on the three sisters in their kimonos. This was lit with just the octobank, and we do have a problem in that the sky behind me looking down into the area where the sisters was very bright with the sun behind me, just hidden behind the balcony that I was standing on. But still, this caused the sisters to squint a little as they looked up. I was also shooting between two slats above the deck, which is why we get this slightly forced rotation of the camera there. But still, I quite like this shot. It was probably the best of this batch from the deck, so, you know, I thought I'd include this. We did get a few nice head and shoulder shots as well, but I don't want to just completely fill up this episode with images. It's important to plan the flow of your shoots to make the most of the time that your clients are paying for. So while the ladies changed out of their kimonos for some casual clothes shots, we grabbed the octobank and the 3x4 foot softbox to go to the man of the house's mother's house, where we shot her with the grandkids for his mum's year-end cards. We got the standard shots, to feed the shot list, but personally, this image that I've got being shown now is my favourite from this location. The young guy here is remarkably relaxed here for him, and I captured a tender moment for the family. None of their eyes are visible in the shot, but that isn't always necessary in my opinion. This just works on a number of levels. Again, the main light here was the Westcott octobank pushed up against the outside window, and the 3x4 foot Profoto softbox is in the room to camera right, to fill in the shadows a little bit, not too much. I was also conscious here to ensure that Grandpa, who's unfortunately no longer with us, was able to be in this family shot via his photograph in the back there. Having used the time well, we went back to the main house and had more sessions with the sisters' families. I'm not going to include all of the shots again. You know, I don't really want to. We're already looking at a lot of images anyway. But here are a few more to finish with. For example, here's a nice, normal portrait of the main family. That was actually one of the last shots that we got, though. After bribing the boy with a McDonald's or something, Up to that point, he had other ideas. He'd actually bought a wooden sword to the shoot and spent most of the time pretending to be a samurai, which in turn earned him a little bit of friendly frustration from Dad, as we can see here. After this session, we did a few more shots back out on the deck as the families wanted some photographs with the garden in the background. There, here's one of the youngest sister with her new husband shot with the 50mm f1.2L lens. There are some hot spots in the background where the sun is catching the trees, and I'm not fond of the drainage pipes that form shapes on the wall to the right, but we got what we were asked to do here, and the clients are happy with the results. I was happy to get some nice natural expressions too. To finish up, we shot the three sisters out on the deck together for this last shot that we'll look at today. I'm actually breaking a whole bunch of rules here because I actually have these three ladies standing directly in front of the softbox, and that's the only light. So you'd think that we'd have really flat light, but actually I split the light into two by standing directly in front of it myself. If you click on the image to show it full size on my blog, you can make out a horseshoe-shaped catchlight in their eyes, which is basically me standing in front of the huge octobank. Because I did this, we still got some nice shadows and definition in the faces, and I, of course, had balanced the exposure so that the ambient light in the background was just overexposing to the point where the sun, the bits of where the sun was hitting the foliage was just overexposing a little bit. So there was actually more natural light hitting the subjects too. All in all, I think it turned out quite well. This family had booked me with my gold package, which basically includes a 2-hour session, which we extended with the additional subjects. And it also contains a bunch of prints that I'm going to start working on as each family decides which of their respective photos they want me to print for them. I don't just give my clients a DVD with all of the four-sided images on them, as I want to be in control of the quality of any prints made. They each get a web album with the images numbered so that they can let me know which ones they want printed. As including portraits like these in New Year postcards is popular here in Japan, I do provide the clients with a DVD with images resized large enough to be able to print a postcard at 300 ppi. And these are also a good size for computer desktop wallpaper and full-size viewing, etc. To provide this image data, I also create a DVD that I send to each family. I try to select a nice shot from the shoot to put on the label, as you can see in this last image. I've blurred out the names for privacy's sake, but you can see that these are usually quite a nice memento from the shoot. I received an email earlier today that these DVDs have arrived and the client's very happy with these and the overall experience. It makes me so happy to be able to help people to create memories like this. Although I love my nature and wildlife work, this side of my business, this portraiture side, is incredibly fulfilling, and I'm really looking forward to doing more and more now that I'm actually officially back and taking assignments again. I did also want to update you on the fact that I had 2 to 3 monolights working from the Profoto backpack for the majority of the shoot, and at some points I had all 4 lights running off of it. I had them all set in battery mode to purposefully slow down the recharge time so that they didn't try to suck too much energy out of the battery after firing. But apart from the odd time when I'd inadvertently taken 2 shots consecutively and making all of the monolights scream at me, telling me that, you know, that I'd basically used up all of their power and that they weren't ready to shoot again yet. Apart from the odd time when I did that, the backpack held up very well. I shot some 570 frames over the 3.5 hours, all of which had a minimum of 2 monolights on working from the battery, usually 3 and sometimes 4, and it just kept going. I think Profoto have purposefully understated the potential of this battery in their specs. It certainly outperformed them, so I'm very happy with this unit. As I said last week, this was also the first assignment on which I used the ThinkTank Photo Airport Security V2 rolling camera bag. You can check out the full review of that episode at mbp.ac/309. But just to close the loop on that, the bag totally lived up to my expectations. It's tough, it holds a ton of gear, and although the security measures make it a relatively weighty bag, the fact that you can roll it around makes it so useful for this sort of shoot. Before we finish, I'd like to say a huge thank you to the family for allowing me to make these memories with you all again this year, and for allowing me to share the resulting images here on my blog and podcast. And of course, thanks to all of you for listening. I do have just one piece of housekeeping before we finish today. From today, November 25th to December 25th, Christmas Day, I'm having a sale on all of my fine art prints. If there are any photographs in my gallery at martinbaileyphotography.com that you like and you would like a top quality original print of, just enter the coupon MBP25 in my shopping cart for a 25% discount on your order. All prints are created by me right here in my studio on the best quality archival Baryta or photo rag papers from Breathing Colour and Harley Mule. If you have any custom size requirements or anything like that that you can't order right there from the site, just drop me a line at info@martinbaileyphotography.com and I'll work with you to get you exactly what you need. Remember too that you can find me on Google+, Twitter and a bunch of other places. All of the links are on the top page at martinbaileyphotography.com, so do drop by and join in the fun. I'll be back next week with another episode. In the meantime, you just take care and have a great week, whatever you're doing. Bye bye.